Here going through a storm. Yeah, there's a lot of us going through storms these days, aren't there? As a matter of fact, it seems like these days almost everybody is going through some kind of storm. It may be a health-related storm. It may be a family issue. It might be a financial storm. But we all go through storms. And as someone as well said, we're in a storm, going out of a storm, or fixing to go into a storm. We all go through storms, and for that reason, God placed a message on my heart, I'm convinced today, to share with you weathering the storm. Weathering the storm. Tornadoes hit 9 states. Almost 40 people were killed over the last few days. Storms are inevitable, and we're going to face the storms. But God's got some good news for you today, how to weather the storm. Weathering the storms. And I want you to know that storms are going to happen. Again, you may not be in one right now, but you might be getting ready to go into a storm. Last Sunday night, we saw the wonderful family film called High Time. It was really a mountaintop. And Sunday night, as I left, I was so encouraged by how God ministered to our hearts, how the Lord met with us. And then inevitably, Sunday night, I could not sleep all night long. I told and evidently came on me and was up all Sunday night, all Monday night, some kind of stomach virus or something. And in the midst of this resting and crying out to God, the Lord spoke to my heart through this passage of Scripture I want to share with you this morning concerning weathering the storm. And speaking of weathering the storm, have you ever wondered what happened to cows during a tornado? I ran across something last night that you might find interesting, how to rate tornadoes and in relation to cows. They call an M-O tornado is a tornado when cows are in an open field, they're spun around parallel to the wind flow and become mildly annoyed. An M-1 tornado, what it does to cows, cows are tipped over and can't get up. But an M2 tornado is a tornado that cows begin rolling in the wind. An M3 tornado is where cows tumble and bounce. An M4 tornado is when cows are airborne. An M5 tornado is steak. I don't know about that, but I know this. Did you hear about the old boy and the girl that were getting married, speaking of storms, and they were engaged? And so the young man was an engineer, and he got transferred to Ireland from America. And so the young lady and the young man were engaged to be married, and the young lady knew that the young man was going to be gone for at least a year. And she wondered about the young man, his commitment to her, his love for her. And so they corresponded through email and by mail letter, snail mail as we'd call it now. And so the young lady asked him after about a couple of months being in Ireland, she said she was getting a little lonely. She suspected he was getting a little lonely. They were engaged to be married. And so she said, "How you doing?" She knew there were some young women, Irish women over there. And so she said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm doing all right." He said, "I miss you terribly." And he says, she said to him, she said, "But are you being tempted with these Ireland women?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm being tempted, but I'm praying and I believe in God's going to preserve me and help me. And so I'm just trying to stay busy." So she decided to send him a harmonica. So she sent a harmonica in the mail. She said, "I thought while you were over there in Ireland and keep your mind off those girls over there, I'd just send you a harmonica." Well, he wrote her back and said, "You know, that harmonica, I really appreciate that. And I'm playing and practicing that thing every night. It's keeping me busy. And I can't wait to see you. I'm saving myself for you." Well, a year passed by. And so finally, he's getting ready to come back to America. And he's at the airport. So there she is at the airport, ready to meet him. And he gets off his plane and she sees him and he comes running over to her and he puts his arms around her and she says, "Wait a minute, big boy." She said, "I want to hear how you play that harmonica first before you do any kissing and hugging." Storms. We all got storms. We face the storms. And I want to share with you today how I love the Bible. How many love the Bible? I love the Word of God. You know why I love the Bible? I love it for a number of reasons. One of the reasons I love the Bible is because God tells us about real people like you and me that face storms and face hardships, tough times, if you will, and yet He shows us in His Word how they responded, how they came through it, and how they honored God. And we can look at the Bible this morning and see an individual who went through a tough time, who was enduring a storm, and yet God preserved him and gave him the victory. And as you take your Bible and turn with me to your Sunday school lesson, Psalm 42. Turn to Psalm 42. In the book of Psalm, chapter 42, the Lord began to quicken some things in my heart. Now, I know some of you that take notes, and I'm so thrilled that you do. You'll note that the Lord has had me to preach on Psalm 42 three times in the last 20 years. 1994, the Lord had me to share a message in Psalm 42, how to cure the spiritual blues. Then in 2005, the Lord had me use the text of Psalm 42. And then in 2007. But I want you to know, friend, that God quickened some new things in my heart this week concerning Psalm 42. So this is an entirely different message entitled Weathering the Storm. Weathering the Storm. We're looking at Psalm 42, and if you would stand to your feet as we read Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, there are seven responses that you and I can do that will allow us to weather the storm. Seven responses. I believe this is going to be a blessing to somebody. I believe that there's some of us today that need a good word from God, that need a word of encouragement. We're looking at Psalm 42. We begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 42. If you're there, would you say amen? As the heart of the deer, the stag, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Let me back up for a moment, because in the introduction of Psalm 42, you'll notice to the chief musician, maskil, that is a word that means teaching, didactic, which is teaching or instruction. And if you've ever wondered where some of these words come from the sons of Korah, the musicians. Again, read verse 1 with me. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. Here's the psalmist, and I believe it was David, no doubt. Others say it could have been Hezekiah or even some other, but I personally believe it was a psalm from David. By the way, there are a number of these psalms that we call these maskil. But look at verse 1 again, one more time. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. Notice that. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and the hill Mizar. Deep calleth on the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. This is the word of God, and all God's people said. Father, now in the name of Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we thank you for this sanctified time. We praise you for the word that's forever settled in heaven. I pray, God, that you'll meet with us in a special way. You'll just manifest your glory. And we worship you today. We bless you for what already we've heard, how we've sensed your presence, how, Lord, we long to sit in your presence. We long, our God, just to hear a word from you, knowing that you're with us and you said you'd not forsake us. I pray, God, for men and women and boys and girls today. And Lord, all of us are going through some kind of storm. But thank you, Lord, for the good word you've given to us today. And we delight in it. And we want to receive it. And we want to obey it. And we want to yield to it. And Jesus, we just worship again. And thank you, because you've been good to us. You sure have blessed me, Father. You sure have saved my lost soul and washed me in your blood. I pray for every person here today that's maybe not saved. We ask you, God, to speak to their heart, to plow up the fallow ground, to sow the incorruptible, indestructible seed. I pray, Lord, for those that are born by your Spirit, Lord, that God, you'll cause us to rise up and see that, Lord, we can weather the storm. There's hope in you. There's life in you. There's victory in you. We'll thank and praise you all you do, because you alone are worthy, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. And as you're sitting down, you'll want to note there are seven responses in Psalm 42. Seven responses how you can weather the storm. Seven responses that will allow you to weather the storm. Here they are. Number one, by refreshing your soul. Number one, refreshing or refresh your soul. That's found in verses 1 through 3. Refreshing your soul. Then number two, not only refreshing your soul, but remember your blessings. Remember your blessings. That's found in verse 4. Don't worry if you don't get them all. We'll come back to them. Number 3. Not only refresh your soul, verses 1 through 3, and remember your blessings, verses 4. But number 3. Renew your hope. Renew your hope. That's found in verse number 5. Renew your hope. I'm talking about how to weather the storm. I'm talking about living in victory. Then number 4. There's a fourth response that you can do and I can do in regards when we go through a storm that will allow us to weather the storm. Number 4 is by rejoice in his song. Rejoice in his song. Not only refresh your soul, not only remember your blessings, not only renew your hope, but rejoice in his song. Then number 5, we'll see in a moment, is this: refocus your prayers. Refocus your prayers when you're going through a storm. Refocus your prayers. That's found in verse number 8. And by the way, if you're wondering where the matter of rejoicing in a song, that's verse 8. And then number 6, the sixth way you can weather the storm. Number 6 is found, and it's this: return to the rock. Return to your rock. That's found in verse 9. Verse 9 of Psalm 42. Return to your rock. And then finally, number 7. Seven responses that you need to make today and I need to make today that God said, you can get out of this. You can make it through this. God's going to help you through this. Number 7 is this: not only return to your rock, but 7th, and certainly not the least of all, but 7 is this: revive your faith. Revive your faith. That's found in verse number 11. Here we go again. Verses 1 through 11, weathering the storm. How can I weather the storm? Brother Pastor, I'm going through a hard time. It's a tough time. I've got troubles on every side. Wait a minute. Number 1. Don't forget, refresh your soul. When you're going through a tough time, refresh your soul. Look at verse 1 and 2 and verse 3 again of Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? Number 1, refresh your soul. Why should I refresh our soul? 2 reasons. Number 1, because of outward stress. And number 2, because of inward anxiety. That's why you need your soul refreshed today. Why? Because of outward stress and inward anxiety. Is there anybody here today that you feel like you're under a lot of stress? Is there anybody here today that a lot of things have been happening in your life? By definition, stress is that outward pressure exerted on a body that tends to debilitate it or deform it. Stress is real. All of us are under a certain amount of stress. And the reason you need to refresh your soul today, and the reason that we all need to refresh our soul today, is because of outward stress. You know,
Speaking of stress, this chair right here was meant to hold me up. It's going to be under some stress. It's built to hold stress. It did not cave in because I sat in it and I proved that it was built to withstand the stress. It's that outward pressure that's exerted upon a certain individual or a certain thing. Can I tell you something? If you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've been born by the Spirit of God, God in us enables us to overcome stress. There's something about Jesus. There's something about the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something about the Word of God. There's something about having a personal relationship with God that just enables a child of God. We were built to overcome stress. And the church said, I'll tell you, you ought to rejoice in the Lord right there. Why do we need to refresh our soul? Because of outward stress. The psalmist no doubt felt the stress. He was under a time of despair, a time of discouragement, and he sensed that he needed God. He needed his soul to be refreshed. And speaking of refreshing our soul, you know, Dan and I were up over in Covington last week, and we stopped by over there by Thomas's. I love good old home cooking, you know, good old vegetables. And anyway, we stopped up there in Covington, and I noticed a sign as I was walking in the restaurant, and it said this. There's a bar that's right next to Thomas's up in Covington, and it said this on a big sign: happy hour, happy hour. It struck a chord with me. Happy hour to go to a bar. I said, oh God, that is no happy hour. It's a sad hour. I would to God that people today would realize it's a sad hour when you have to use some mind-altering drug. I can't hear you. I mean, it's a sad day when people turn to some pill or some booze or something to try to cope with society. I'm telling you, as a Christian, we don't have to look toward pills, and we don't have to look toward alcohol to give us grace to calm our nerves. We got the power of the Holy Ghost. I said we got the power of the Holy Ghost. I said we got the power of prayer. I said we got the blood of the Lamb. I said we've got victory in Jesus. I don't need a pill. I don't need any drink. We've got power with God. Amen and amen and amen. That's right. My dear mom used to tell me she drank before she was a Christian. I said, Mama, why are you drinking? She said, it helps calm my nerves. But oh, brother, I'm telling you, dear sister, today, you might have a lot of stress on you. You might have a lot of pressure. But wait a minute. I've got good news. There's a place you can go. There's a refuge you can find. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Praise God. Our Lord said he won't leave you nor forsake you. Everybody needs a friend like Jesus. Thanks be to God. He's the one that sustains us when we're going through a storm. That's why you and I need our soul refreshed today. Can I get an amen? And so restore our soul. My neighbor, I'll never forget him, Bobby. Mr. Bobby drank for years and years. And one time, after a number of years, back just probably 4 or 5 years ago, he called me. I got home one Saturday night. He said, Preacher, he said, I need Jesus to save me. His health began to decline. He kind of had all kinds of health issues. And he said, I need to get right with God. I said, Mr. Bobby, you can get right with God now. What you need to do is ask God to forgive you of your sin. Cry out to Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With a heart man believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the word of God, God will save you. Anyway, Bobby cried out to Jesus to save him. Oh, I was there. I heard him. I sensed God quickening his life in him. Little did I know, just a couple of years later, matter of fact, 2009, I was at his house, standing at his bedside, saw him take his last breath. He went to be with the Lord. Praise God. And then a few days later, had the privilege of preaching his funeral. He went from booze to Jesus. Oh, thank God. Jesus said, ho, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I know the devil's trying to tempt some of you to turn back to that mind-altering drug. But friend, it's a dead-end road. Just ask Whitney Houston. Just ask Michael Jackson. If it's all what it's cracked up to be, why in the world are the devil killing all these folks? And why in the world? I'm telling you, friend, it's not there. The psalmist said, as a deer pants after water at a brook, so may my soul pant after thee. How many of you ever hunted deer with dogs? We don't do that around here, but down in Florida, a number of years ago, about 30 years ago, I was invited to go down to Florida. They hunted deer with dogs. I'll never forget it. We got up early in the morning before the sun rose, had my old shotgun. They placed me out in a place. They said, you just need to be ready. And about that time, I heard those old dogs, ooh, 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 man, they smelled a deer. Ooh, 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 boy, they were getting after deer. They smelled that deer smell, and man, they were running through the woods. I can almost imagine that deer in the bed, sleeping in the bed, heard them, ooh, 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 heard them dogs coming, and that deer jumped up out of the bed, took off. How'd you leave your bed this morning? Took up and ran from them dogs. Them dogs were chasing that deer, running to the briars. The deer was running for his dear life, running up the hill, running down the hill, jumping over logs. And those dogs, ooh, 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 man, they were about ready to get that deer. And that deer running and running and running. Finally, after about some chase, about some time, that old deer's old tongue is hanging out of its mouth, is thirsty. If it could just stop and get a drink of water, it'd get some renewed strength. It'd get a little bit more energy to run from those dogs. And about that time, that deer comes up on a stream and looks back and hears, ooh, 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 those dogs getting closer and closer. And about that time, that deer says, I got to get a drink. I got to get a drink. I'm my soul's parts, my mouth. And laps up some water and takes off again. That's the picture of Psalm 42. Just like a deer longs for a drink of water, so David, so us long to be in the presence of God, long to get refreshed by the Lord, long, as the song said, I met a moment ago, the ladies just sang a song, restore my soul in the valley. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, if we're going to weather the storm, we've got to let God restore our soul. You agree with me? Amen. Number two, not only restore our soul, but remember your blessings. When you're going through a storm, when you're going through a hard time, when you've got a lot of pressure on you, remember your blessings. Look at verse 4 and then verse 6 of the text. Verse 4, the psalmist David said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Look at verse number 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Remember your blessings. Anybody going through a storm now? If the devil wants to cut you off, he's just going to cut you off where you'll have spiritual amnesia, where you won't remember your blessings. Did you hear about the young man? Well, he was really an older man, and the older lady, as they were getting up in age, and they were getting a little senile. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're getting a little forgetful-minded. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've probably heard the story where the man said to his wife, he said, honey, go get me a bowl of ice cream, vanilla. She said, all right. He said, you better write it down. You might forget it. She said, no, I'll remember that. He said, how about putting a little bit of whipped cream on it? All right. How about putting a little chocolate fudge on it? All right. And he said, you might want to write this down because you're going to forget it. Put a cherry on top. He said, you got that? She said, yeah, I'll be right back. She went in the kitchen. About 15 minutes later, she brought out a bowl of ice cream with chocolate on it, with whipped cream on it, and a cherry. He looked at her and said, huh, you forgot the toast. Can I tell you something? We are inclined to forget the blessings of God. I can't hear you. I said we're inclined. I said we're prone. I said we have, for some reason or another, we forget how good God's been. God sure has been good to me. Has he been good to you? Is he blessing you? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't see the saints of God. Could that be why we need a Holy Ghost revival? We've forgotten how good God's been to us. Could that be why New Rocky Creek Baptist Church needs a fresh vision and a fresh anointing and a
fresh power is we've forgotten how good God's been to New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. I can't hear you, church. I can't hear you, church. I can't hear you.
Yeah.
We need to thank God. We need to praise the Lord. Why?
Because when you're going through a storm, there's the past blessings, there's the present blessings, and there's the future blessings. Are you here today? Are you saved? Let me see your hand if you know you're a child of God. No doubt about it. You got something to shout about today. Can you hear me?
You got something to rejoice over. If you're not headed for the devil's hell, you ought to be shouting and praising God and saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not in hell today. I thank you, Lord. In your mercy, you saw fit to save me in spite of myself. Lord, I've got something to rejoice in today. I've got something to thank you today. Can I tell you, it was way back there, almost 30 years ago this March. In fact, it was 30 years ago, 1982, March. Jesus reached down when I couldn't reach up high enough. Praise God, He reached down low enough. I don't know about you, but I know I was lost. I was confused. I was on my way to a lake of fire. I had no peace. I had no joy. I was going through the motions. Yeah, I was going to church, playing church. But wait a minute, that spring in 1982, Jesus brought me up out of the horrible pit. Jesus gave me His joy unspeakable, full of glory, and gave me peace. He gave forgiveness of my sins. He washed my sins away. He blotted them out, cast them as far as the east is from the west. He made me a new creature. He adopted me in His family. He sealed me by His Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, today I rejoice in the Lord, and I thank God that I can remember the blessings. I've been redeemed. Glory, 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 Lord. Glory, Lord, glory, Lord. And then not only the blessings of the past, what about the present? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I hear you saying, but oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, you don't know about my aches and pains. Oh, you don't know about my money finances. I know this. How many of you walked in today with shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, food on the table? Oh, and you walk in this place. Nobody was drugging this place on a stretcher. We all, by the grace of God, walk. I'm telling you, God's sure been good to us. Not just yesterday. He's blessing us today over and over again. And we ought to shout the victory. We ought to say, Lord, you sure have been good to me. We ought to say it. Yep, we ought to do it. Lord, you sure good to me.
I hear you. Oh, but you don't know all I'm going through and all my problems and all my heartaches. Look at me and listen. I'm saying this in love. I want to ask you a question. Are your blessings far outweighing your burdens? I can't hear you.
God sure has. If we just get our eyes off of our burdens, our problems, our heartaches, our storms, and start thanking God how good He is, how He's good every day, I'm telling you, it'll just refresh your soul. It'll bless your heart. God's sure been good to me.
And then remember His blessings not only the past and the present. Remember His blessings in the future.
I'm so grateful to God today. I'm telling you, when you're going through a storm, if you just have a remembrance time, how good God is and how He said one of these days He's going to come back for us. Can you beat that? Can you beat Jesus coming back for you? Can you beat Him saying, in my Father's house are many mansions? If it were not so, I would have told you I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you beat the fact that He's coming with a shout and the voice of the archangel? I'm talking about, remember the blessing, the future. I've read it. I've read the last page. I know this world might seem bleak and dark. I know the things going on us trouble us, but wait a minute, I can remember, praise God, the Lord is in control. He's coming back for us one day, and guess what? Heaven is a home for the saved. Is that good or what? Oh, I said, is that good? I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And you know, I get to thinking about how wonderful our Lord is. It reminds me of the man that sat in church and he couldn't help it. When the preacher get to preaching about how good God was, he couldn't sit there silent with his lips buttoned up. He couldn't sit there without showing some kind of emotion. Every once in a while, the preacher start talking about how good God is and how he saves us with his blood and by his grace and how we don't deserve it and how we, all of that. And then not only that, but how, and that old man would start shouting. He'd say, amen, glory, glory, hallelujah. Sometimes what's in you has got to come out. The church got a new preacher. And the old, that man jump out and start saying, amen, praise God. And it messed up the young preacher from preaching. Can you imagine? And so a couple of men of the church went to see that man. They said, sir, we just thought we'd come to see you because I notice you can't help it. You get to shouting and praising God in the church. And he says, but it's messing up our preacher. By the way, it don't mess me up, amen. He says, sick 'em, dog. Anyway, he got out there. He said to that man, he said, sir, he was out there on his old tractor cutting the grass. And they came out and he said, well, he said, sir, if you just tone it down a little bit. And the man said, the man said to them two other men that came out there as he was on the tractor, he said, I can't help it. He said, I can't help it. I get to thinking about how good God's been, how God's rescued me from a life of degradation and brought me into his marvelous light. He said, I can't help it. I get to thinking about how God's prepared for me a home in glory where their souls shall never die and no more sickness, no more pain, no more heartache, no more sin. I get to thinking about how God saved this poor wretched soul of mine, how the Lord has given me one thing after another. He's given me a good family. He's given me a wife. He's given me children. He's blessed me with a family. He's given me a job. He's given me help. And that man said, hey, hold this wheel right here. I feel like shouting, glory, glory, glory. I don't know about you, friend, but every once in a while, God begins to show me what all he's done, and I can't help but to say, hallelujah, God, you're wonderful. We praise you. We bless you. I thank you from the depths of my heart. Amen and amen and amen. If we're going to weather the storm, number three, not only do we need to restore, refresh our soul, remember your blessings, but number three, renew your hope. Look at it. Verse 5. Look at it. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Renew your hope. Hope, David, the psalmist said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There are two kinds of people in this place this morning, those who have hope and those who don't have hope. Which category do you fit in? It's an awful thing. Hear me now. When you're going through a storm, when you're in a difficult situation, it's so easy. Can y'all hear me in the back? It's so easy to lose hope. It is. It is. And the devil knows if he can wear you out, he's going to wear you out. Just like that deer. Whoa, 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 whoa. Those dogs running after that old deer. I'm telling you, the devil's got his hounds after us. I said the devil's got his hounds after us. And the devil's hounds are barking and snapping. And they want to get you discouraged. And they want to get you down. And they want to rob you of hope in Jesus. But wait a minute. Praise God. Greater is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. Do you one of those that have no hope? Are you one of those that have hope? The psalmist had hope. You know how he had hope? Two ways. One, he had hope not only in this life. Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. He had hope in the life to come. How do I know that? Because Job asked that question in Job 14 and 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? We ask the same question today. Job chapter 19 and verse 25. He answered that question. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Aren't you glad that our Redeemer liveth? Aren't you glad that we know absent from the body, present with the Lord, Sister Marie? Aren't you glad, thank God, that God says he's going to translate us into glory? Wait a minute. I know that because Romans 14 and 8, Paul wrote and said, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. I know that because in Philippians 21 and 21, Paul wrote and said this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I'm caught between a hard place and a rock. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to be with Christ and depart, but for your sakes I'm going to stay. How do I know that? I know that because John says in Revelation 14 and 13, blessed are they that die in the Lord. From henceforth they cease their labors, but their works do follow them. I know that there's hope beyond the grave. I know there is life beyond the grave. I know that we can stand today with blessed assurance that thanks be to God, the best is yet to come. The psalmist said this in Psalm 116 and verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Sister Bonnie, I said precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'm talking about we've got hope not only in this life, but in the life to come. I heard about a young girl that couldn't sleep one night. And she was troubled. She had a lot of burdens. Have you got a lot of burdens today? Cast thy burden on the Lord. He shall sustain thee. Cast all your care on the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 7. He cares for you. Are you going through a storm? This little girl couldn't sleep, and her mama came in her room. She said, honey, what's the matter? She said, I can't sleep. I said, what's wrong? She said, I've got all these cares and these problems on my mind, and I just can't sleep. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you are going through some care that is robbing you of sleep? You can't sleep at night, and you're tossing and turning. You're trying to figure this thing out. Finally, she came to the conclusion. She said, mama, let me ask you a question. Does God ever sleep? No, God doesn't ever sleep. He's awake. He never sleeps nor slumbers, according to Psalm 121. And the girl said, well, if God's going to stay awake all night, why should I? I'm going to go and go to sleep. Why are you staying up all night? Why are you worried about all this stuff? Why are you wringing your hands? Why are you troubled and taking Maalox and pills and all that stuff? I'm telling you, we've got a God who's a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We've got one who carried the load for us. We got one who loves us and knows what we're going through. We got somebody who's got his hand on the thermostat. He knows the storm. And guess what? He's going to use it for our good rather than for our bad. We can trust him today, church. Weather the storm. Number four. The fourth response is not only renewing our hope, but rejoicing in his song. Rejoicing in his song. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Rejoicing in his song. In verse 8, the psalmist David said, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And look at this. And in the night, help me somebody. And in the night, his song shall be with me. Oh, I was up last night about 2 o'clock, 2:30. I just preached about that, didn't I? But you know what? I don't know. Songs just come on my heart. I get up at night, and I'm singing a song that we've sung. Y'all do that? It seems like inevitable. I don't know why and how and all that stuff, but wait a minute. God will give us songs two ways. You ready for it? One, he'll give us a song in the daytime. But two, he'll give us a song at night. Woo! Psalm 30 verse 5 says, we've been bandered for a night. David said, but joy comes in the morning. Let's say that together. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. One more time. Weeping. Y'all don't know it. Let me teach it to you. Weeping may endure for a night. Let's say it together. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. One more time. Weeping. But joy comes in the morning. You believe that? It's Job 35:10. Job was told that God will give you a song in the night. How many have ever wrestled and been sick or couldn't sleep at night? Can I get anybody to say amen? I know what you're talking about. When I can't sleep at night, there's the Lord with me. He said it, hold me. It was underneath of me are his everlasting arms. Above me is his all-seeing eye. My God said he'd be my shepherd. He'd walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? He'll give us a song in the night. Have you ever heard of that bird called a nightingale? You know what a nightingale will do? You can put that nightingale in a cage. Put a blanket over it. cover it up, pitch black dark. Guess what that nightingale will do? Keep on singing. You can't get that nightingale to stop singing. You can't get that bird to stop singing. That bird will just keep singing in the dark. I'm telling you, thanks be to God, we've got a God who'll hold us in the dark. He'll hold us in the light. He'll hold us in good times, in bad times. He's there as our refuge and strength. He's the one that knows us better than anybody else, and He's the one that can pull us through. I'm telling you, God will help you to weather the storm today. Reminded me of the story of the old parrot. I saw a lady this week. She told me she had a parrot at the Mews. He's a talking parrot. I said, really? She said, yeah, he talks to me. I said, okay. Remind me of that story about that parrot named Chippy. Chippy was a talking parrot. Chippy would talk all the time, nonstop. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your husband. Talk all the time. But anyway, finally they started to clean out old Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. Chippy was sucked down the vacuum cleaner. Uh-oh. They said, oh no, what's going to happen to Chippy? They took the vacuum cleaner apart, and disassembled it, and found Chippy down in the vacuum cleaner, brushed him off, and Chippy was still alive. They propped old Chippy back in the cage. And Chippy just looked there like this. Chippy was in a state of shock. Chippy wouldn't sing anymore. Chippy had lost his song. Is there anybody here that you've lost your song? You've been whining and complaining about your job. You've been whining and complaining about your family. You've been whining and complaining about the weather. Oh, have you lost your song? I came to tell you today, you can get your hope back. You can get your song back. God will give you your song back. You believe that? Is there anybody here that says, praise God, I need my song back. I'm going to get my song back. The devil's not going to rob me of my song. Amen and amen and glory be to God. Hallelujah. Then, number five, there's a fifth response, if you're going to weather the storm, and it's this. Refocus your prayers. Look at verse 8 again. Refocus your prayers. When you're going through a tough time, when you're going through a storm, not only do you need to refresh your soul, not only do you need to remember your blessings, not only to remember, renew your hope and rejoice in His song, number five, refocus, refocus, refocus your prayers. Refocus them. Why? Look at it. Verse 8 of Psalm 42, the last part of it. He says, yet the Lord will command His love and kindness in the daytime and in this night. In the night His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. You're going through a storm now? Can I suggest that we just need to refocus our prayers? Why? Why am I saying that? Can y'all hear me okay? Say amen if you can hear me. Our prayers are too me-centered and not God-centered. That's right. When you go through a storm, it becomes, oh, God, why am I going through this? Oh, God, you're supposed to be good to me. And we bellyache and whine. We need to refocus our prayers. Amen and amen and amen. You can tell I've got a lot of practice of whining. But that's the deal. Listen, that's the deal. Guess what? Newsflash, it's not about you, it's about Him. You just get that and you say, bless God, I came to church, I know. By the way, you know why the psalmist was down and discouraged and depressed? He wanted to go to the house of God again. He was on the run. He said, I could just get, look at it, it's in the text. If I could just get back to the house of God, can I tell you something about our song and about our prayers? There's something about it when we gather in the house of God in the name of Jesus. Listen to me, with the saints of God, God just refreshes us. God, does He do you like that? He does me like that. He renews my strength. He refreshes my soul. Something about it. When you miss a long time from getting in the house of God, you miss it. Can I get an amen in the back? Oh, yes, you miss it, you miss it, you miss it. A man told me this week, 31 years old. He's not in his 70s. He's in his 30s. Here's what he said. he said, and he goes to church somewhere else. He said, I can't stand it when I'm not. And he said, I got to go to church every Sunday. I said, why is that? I was just listening to him. He said, because it gives me strength to face the week. It gives me extraordinary grace to face the things I got to face this week. I'm telling you, God's got a way of meeting with us when we gather in his name that you can't get by the creek bank. You can't get up in a tree stand. You can't get it at the race. You can't get it at the football field. You can get it with God's people. When we gather in the name of Jesus, God meets with us.
Oh yeah, that's right. Amen. I need it. I need it. We all need it. But our prayers refocused on, why am I going through this? What are you up to, Lord? Jesus said in Luke 18, I love it. I love it. I love it. About that widow that needed to be avenged of her adversary. You remember that? And Jesus said about that woman, he said, listen to me, will God not avenge his own elect that cry to him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, prayer, see if you agree with me, prayer changes things. Prayer changes me and you. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Whosoever asketh, receive it. He that seeketh, find it. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Can I tell y'all a testimony? To God be glory? To God be the glory. Wait a minute. This happened recently. Prayers. You believe God answers prayer? He does. March the 1st, 2011. March the 1st, 2011. I was sitting out in the parking lot with a young man, Tyler Yancey, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock. We'd gone to a meeting that day, evangelism conference. We sat out in the parking lot. Here's what Tyler, I said, how can I pray for you, brother? He said, let's pray. Pray that God will give us a baby. We began to pray. And I've shared this with you before. I'm telling you, God's good, isn't he? Began to pray, and the Lord birthed in my heart such faith. It never happened before. I mean, such faith. The baby's on the way. I remember telling Tyler. I said, Tyler, go get the nursery ready. They've been trying to have a baby for a while. Others have been praying with them about it. I said, Tyler, go get the nursery ready. Get it ready. A baby's on the way. A baby's on the way. A baby. March the 1st, 2011. Guess what? Less than a year. Less than a year. February the 8th. Just a few weeks ago, I was at the hospital, and it was 2:56 a.m. in the morning. I was waiting in the waiting room. I was praying. I just felt impressed to the Lord. I need to stay there and pray. Candace was having difficulty with delivery. She had been in labor all day long and most of the night, and God just burdened me to pray. But God gave us great faith, and other family had been praying. Finally, I was in the waiting room, and Tyler called me. He was in the room. Bless his heart. Anyway, he called at 2:56 a.m. and I could hear the baby crying in the background. I'm telling you, they've got a boy named Nathan. Hey, I'm telling you, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Oh, praise his holy name forever and ever and ever. And the church said, glory be to God. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm not saying it's because I prayed. I know a lot of people are praying. I'm saying this. We need to refocus our prayer. Refocus your prayer. You got a storm? You know how to weather your storm? Refocus your prayer. Then, number six, if we're going to weather the storm, return to the rock. Return to your rock. Look at it. Verse number 9, return to your rock. Look at verse 9. David said, I got to go back to the rock. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? My rock. I'll make this brief. A rock, you can do two things with it. Number one, you can stand on it. Number two, you can throw a rock. I'm glad that on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking. I'm telling you, when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. How can I weather the storm? Is there anybody here that needs to go back to the rock this morning? You need to say, I know, God, you're a covenant-keeping God. I know that all of your promises in Jesus are yea and in him, amen. Lord, I'm going through a storm. I want to weather the storm. Lord, I don't want to have a faith failure now. Lord, I don't want to doubt you now. Lord, I don't want to regress into fear now. Lord,
I want to stand on the rock. Jesus, you are that rock.
I'm so glad to tell you, thank God, the psalmist David said in Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 18, David said, God is my rock and my fortress, a very present help in trouble. Oh yeah, David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall be afraid? The Lord is my shepherd, said David in Psalm 23. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. In Psalm 32, David knew that God was his rock. Do you know that he's your rock today? David said, blessed is a man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose transgressions or sins are covered. It was David who said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. It was David who said in Psalm 37, he said, watch this, don't miss it. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Be patient. Oh, I'm telling you, we've got a rock that will stand the test of time in Jesus. Woo! Glory be to his name. So we need to return back to the rock. Will you do it today? A rock can be thrown. But can I tell you, what we need to do is throw down our rocks. In John 8, a woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The Pharisees said to stone her, to kill her. They were ready to. Jesus said, he is without sin, let him cast the first stone. He said, woman, where are thy accusers? As they began to pile out, she said, I have none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. They had to throw down the rocks. Wait a minute. I'm going somewhere. Don't miss this. I'm going somewhere. You know what happens when we go through a storm? We get angry and we get bitter and we get resentful, either at God or somebody else. Yeah, I know. Y'all don't want to admit it. You don't admit it, but you've been angry for a while, hadn't you? You've been resentful for a while, hadn't you? You might not even know why you're angry. You might even know why you're resentful. Can I tell you something? Throw down those rocks. Throw them down. Go to the rock of your salvation. Throw down the rocks that want to be critical. Throw down the rocks that want to be judgmental. Throw down those rocks that wants to be self-righteous. Throw down those rocks. If you don't throw down the rocks, you'll have a hard time weathering the storm. And then last but not least, if we're going to weather the storm, refresh your soul. Remember your blessings. Renew your hope. Rejoice in his song. Refocus your prayers. Some of you need to get to the altar today. Refocus your prayers. Return to the rock, your rock. And then last, revive your faith. Look at verse 11. Revive your faith and we'll be done. Revive your faith. Verse 11 of Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. The word hope, elpis, is in the New Testament, meaning confident expectation. Here's what God's saying. He's saying this. Some of us need to revive our faith. Some of us need to revive our faith. Your faith's been asleep for a long time, hadn't it? Your faith needs to come out today. Your faith may be dead. Your faith may be milly. Jesus said to the disciples, all ye of little faith. You need mega faith. I need mountain moving faith. Is there anybody here that your faith has gotten so small? It's gotten so little. Jesus would say, oh, you have little faith. Why aren't you trusting me? Why aren't you believing me? Why aren't you going to take me at my word? Revive your faith. I believe God's calling our faith into action right now. I want to, by the grace of God, call your faith back from the dead. Call your faith back to life again. Call your faith. It's been sleeping a long time. It's been small a long time. Faith, get up from the sleep. Faith, get up, get up, get up. How many? Is there anybody here that's going to say, praise God, I'm going to watch God call my faith back from the sleep? Stand to your feet.